Okay. I don't like usually recording Shira when nobody's here, but I have to apologize. I had to leave the Gush early to ensure I could spend Shabbos in Yerushalayim with my parents before all the roads closed. So just a few more comments about the Haftarah this week. So we noted already on Sunday that obviously the Haftarah is picked primarily because Truma begins the discussion of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And our Haftarah, the building of the Beis HaMikdash by Shlomo, is obviously a very parallel event. It's not just chosen for the parallelism and for the similarities, but also for the contrast. We noted that while yes, the Mikdash is the some level the ultimate of the Mishkan, they're built in very, very different ways. The Mishkan was small in size, and therefore was not run in a highly superficial way. It was run primarily. It was donated primarily called Nediv Libo. Unique people who wanted to dedicate or Chacham Lev were part of the process. Well, yes, it had officially Bezalel in charge, but still, you get the feeling that it was much more intimate amongst Klal Yisrael. You don't get that feeling at all about the building of the Beis HaMikdash by Shlomo. It was a very, very large project, and therefore was implemented not just as a small, intimate project, but as a national project. And we noted that one could have two types of national projects. We could have a national project where, while it's not really intimate, the people really feel like it's their project, that the leader would succeed in really making the people feel that he is their symbolic representative in the project, but primarily it's really their project. We noted that in this case it doesn't seem to be that Shlomo succeeded in that. The Beis HaMikdash is called many times the House of Shlomo. It's discussed in the context of the building of the castle, the palace of Shlomo as well, which is the following Prakim. And we noted as well that it's discussed as the building of the Beis HaMikdash is discussed as a very heavy tax, that Shlomo has tens of thousands of people working for him. And one of the things we know that brings the kingdom to its knees and to division in the time of Rehavam is the critique of the people that Shlomo taxed them too much. It was too oppressive. And there may be a hidden critique of Shlomo, that he really did oppress the people in building his Beis HaMikdash without making them feel like it was theirs. However, we noted that on the other hand, it really does have to be a national project. It had to be a national project. As the Gemara in Sanhedrin notes, one of the three mitzvot that Bnei Yisrael is commanded as they enter Eretz Yisrael as a nation is both appointing the king and building the Beis HaMikdash. Those are contingent on each other. And it really does have to be a national project. So at some level, Shlomo can't fully be blamed, even if in fact he could have done a little bit better. Now, as we noted, this is much of this analysis taken from Ramosha Lichtenstein's analysis of the Haftarah. I do think that it's a little bit harsh. It's clear that in general the Psukim do look positively on Shlomo, and Ramosha does note at the end of his analysis that right, we do have to give credit where credit is due. As the Gemara notes, if someone has a particularly negative character trait, he should find a way to channel it to Avodas Hashem. If he has a bloodlust, he can become a shochet and the like. So even if it were true that at some level Shlomo is filling his personal need for grandeur and for greatness as king by building the Beis HaMikdash, and to the point where Chazal do criticize him and say the doors wouldn't open until he was willing to admit that it wasn't for him but for David, for the schus of David that the Beis HaMikdash is built. In the end of the day, he really does put his efforts first and foremost into the Beis HaMikdash. So yes, he wanted that grandeur, and maybe at some level he failed to get the people to feel that it was theirs as well. But on the other hand, he did direct his energies, his inspiration, as we noted also the opening, his wisdom, specifically toward building the Beis HaMikdash, and even accomplishes the building of the base of Mikdash in less time than his palace, and it's clear that this is his primary focus. And the fact that he did have this drive for greatness and for glory, but nevertheless directed it to the building of the base of Mikdash is something that itself that he should be praised for. It's something we didn't notice, extensively last time, we just hinted to, is that it's not just Shlomo that this type of critique is directed at. Really, there are two people who are discussed in the context of the base of, building the base of Mikdash and this massive forced labor project. One is Shlomo, but two is his ally is Hiram from the Melech of Tsar. And Ramosha notes that the Midrash picks up on these same character traits that we've at some level criticized Shlomo for as being evident in Hiram as well. In the Psukim in Yecheskel, Perek Chav Chet, the Psukim describe the arrogance of the king of Tsar, and the Midrash in the Yalkut Shimoni connects this arrogance to Hiram's participation in the building of the Mikdash. And there, and if we read it from the Yalkut Shimoni, the Yalkut, in discussing the arrogance of Hiram, says Ka Hiram hayem mitka'eh, or here lemaya Hiram dome, what was Hiram like? La'evet she'asa levush la'adono, calls man chaya levush al'adono eved ro'eh hayem mitka'eh, aziz zeh levush la'adoni. Hiram is like a servant who made a fancy garment for his master and was arrogant about it. And as long as he was, or every time the master wore the garment, he would say, look what I made for my master. Amar ha'adon. So the master said, Ani korea levush lo iya evin mitkaya lai. I'm going to tear this garment so that the servant will no longer use me as a vehicle for his arrogance. Kachirem hayim mitga'el yidei shesholach arazim leveis ha'mikdash. Hiram was arrogant for having sent the cedars for the base. I make this Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Hareini Machriv as Beisi Shali Yechiram Mitzgai Alai. So Hashem says I have to destroy the base Hamikdash so that Hiram will no longer be able to be arrogant. Shneimar Psach Levanon Delasecha V'Tochol Eish Barazecha. And that's why the pasuk describes open Levanon your doors and the fire will eat your cedars. So it's not just Shlomo, but it's also Hiram and the alliance between them that epitomizes this arrogance, this drive for glory that Hashem says that he has to destroy. And at some level, while yes, Shlomo is praised for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, what perhaps these Midrashim are pointing to is that there was an inherent flaw in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, that at some level it was a means by which both Shlomo and Hiram could express their glory as kings rather than what it should have been, a national project. And again, I stress yet again that it couldn't have been the small, intimate project of the Mishkan. We're talking about something on a much greater scale, and even with Shlomo's mass forced labor of tens of thousands of people and two nations working at it at full speed, it still took 7 years. So obviously, you know, to have relied on Kol Nadiv Libo wouldn't have been possible. And no one is suggesting that the Mikdash should have been just a small intimate affair like the Mishkan was. What Moshe is suggesting is that at some level, perhaps Shlomo shouldn't have felt so much that it was his personal project, and perhaps he should have found a way to make it a national project where he wasn't the king who was expressing his power, but rather he was the king who was representing the deepest desires of the people. So that's just a few more ha'arot on the Haftorah. And again, I think, you know, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the main reason that the Haftorah was chosen is not for the contrast, but for the similarities, to remind us that the Mikdash is the end of the process of the Mishkan. The Mishkan itself is the instantiation of at some level of Har Sinai, and the Mikdash is the epitome of that, and all the imagery that we find both in the Mishkan and the Mikdash that are parallel to Matan Torah, the cloud of the Ktores, being between the between God's presence and the Kohen Gadol, the people, and the and all the other images that we find, right? That we should not lose sight of. That's obviously central. And obviously the main thing we should remember is that the Mishkan was the beginning of a process, that right, we go from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, and then the Mishkan maintains that relationship, and eventually we come to Eretz Yisrael, and eventually when we have a king and there's Shalom al Yisrael, and we're able to move from being a particularistic people, but build a Beis HaMikdash that the whole world will see, that we've really reached our potential. And that's why we need to remember the Mikdash even when talking about the Mishkan. So while we've spent much of the time speaking about the contrast, we should not lose sight of the obvious similarities that are probably the real reason that the Haftarah was chosen. Okay, good Shabbos. Hopefully, assuming the snow is not as bad as they say, we will be back. I'll be back Sunday, and we can continue with the After Earth Parashas Zachar.